Hi there, and welcome to the Engage Employee podcast, where you'll discover the latest insights, opinions, and trends within the industry. This podcast is proudly sponsored by Salesforce, the world's number one service platform. With Salesforce, you have a 360-degree view of your customers, empowering agents and making interactions easy for your customers. The result? Deeper customer relationships built on intelligence, empathy, and trust. Visit sfdc.co/customer-service to find out more.
Today, our editor, Lizzie Acas, is delighted to be joined by Paul Barber, Chief Executive and Chairman of Brighton & Hove Albion FC. Paul Barber joined the board of Brighton & Hove as the club's Chief Executive in June 2012 and was promoted to become the club's Deputy Chairman in November 2018. In Paul's seven seasons with the club, Brighton & Hove have achieved three playoff semi-finals, finished third in the EFL Championship in 2015-2016, and secured automatic promotion to the Premier League in the 2016-2017 season.
Hi Paul, it's lovely to speak with you today. Obviously you are the Chief Executive and Deputy Chairman at Brighton & Hove Albion FC, and it was great to hear you speak about how strong values can drive employee performance and a better fan experience at our employee engagement event in May. Today we're going to be delving a little deeper and expanding on some of the key points that you made in your case study talk, and if you're ready, let's get started.
That's fine, thank you.
Lovely, thanks. So first question is, could you please introduce Brighton & Hove Albion FC and the different clubs and groups that it includes?
Well, Brighton & Hove Albion Football Club plays in the Premier League in England. We operate the men's team in this league. We also have a women's team that play in the Women's Super League, which is the highest level of women's football in England. And we also run an academy both for boys and girls from under 23s all the way down to under 8s.
Brilliant. And in your talk, you put a big emphasis on the importance of your brand values. Can you please talk us through what these values are and why they are so important?
Yeah, our brand values really revolve around four key things: treating people well, exceeding expectations, aiming high, and making it special, making whatever we do special. These behaviours drive our business. They define the behaviour we expect from our employees and our suppliers and partners. They inform our decision making, and they set expectations for the whole organisation.
Brilliant. And can you explain how you manage to implement and maintain and uphold these values?
Well, the values were devised from our employees upwards. They weren't something that the senior management of the football club devised. They were devised through a consultative process involving many of our staff, different suppliers, different stakeholders in the organisation. And we use them to drive all of our employee engagement programs, whether that's training, whether that's new initiatives for pay and reward, the way we review performance, the way we determine disciplinary programs and procedures. So they are very much integral to the way the organization behaves. And, you know, we don't just talk about them, we live them.
That's brilliant. It's lovely to see you guys, following through on what you say. Now, please talk us through how these values benefit employee engagement and how this has improved also the health and well-being of your employees as well, because I remember in your talk you talked a lot about how, right down to the diet that your staff get, it's really made some massive changes to the outcome and performance.
Yeah, I think, you know, when people have a very clear set of values by which they can work and live their lives with an organisation, then the standards that are expected of them and the way they conduct themselves with other employees, with other stakeholders in the football club, is very clear. And when they don't live those values, then, you know, they understand that there are consequences to that. And I think one thing I would say about a values-driven organisation like ours, it certainly doesn't make us perfect. We still make mistakes, but it also means that we don't shy away from making tough decisions either. We're prepared to live and die by our values, and when people or partners don't live up to the way we wish to operate, then we make changes. Within the way we treat employees, I think treating people well obviously means your employees too. So we do tend to spend a lot of time thinking about how we can make our working environment better, how we can improve the performance of our employees through that environment. We introduced a healthy eating program, breakfast and lunch, which we provide to all of our employees free of charge every day, as a way of driving better performance and higher performance from everyone. And that's been something which has worked for our club. We've also seen a much higher level of employee engagement between different departments, because people tend to go to breakfast and lunch and sit with colleagues in other departments they might not necessarily talk to day to day, other than through email or on the phone. So there are some spin-off benefits of programs like this, and it has made a very big difference to the sociability of the football club as well as the performance.
That sounds brilliant. And just following on from that as well, in your talk you mentioned that every single employee is part of the bonus structure too. Can you please explain why this decision was made and the effect of it?
Sure. I mean, a lot of professional football clubs will have bonus structures for the players, for the athletes. And, you know, this, again, is very much focused around winning matches, winning league titles, winning cups, and is designed to drive high performance from the athletes. What we found 3 years ago was that our employees were not motivated or incentivized in the same way. And we felt this was potentially a disconnect between the playing side of the club, the athletic side of the club, and the administration side of the club. And we wanted to narrow that gap. So 3 years ago, we implemented a program where all employees, from our part-time staff right the way through to all of our full-time staff in every department, benefit from the success of the team on the pitch. And this has two effects, really. First of all, it motivates our non-athletic staff to support the athletes as best they possibly can in every way that they can. And secondly, when those athletes are successful, then all other employees share in the financial success that we have. So all of our employees were entitled to 20% of their annual salary when we got promoted to the Premier League. And since we've been in the Premier League, for every year that we stay in the Premier League, employees are entitled to a minimum of 10% of their base salary, plus 2% more for every place that we finish above the relegation zone. So everybody's got an incentive, not just for the team to stay in the Premier League, but also for the team to do well in the Premier League. But there is one catch, and that is at the end of the year, that bonus structure is reviewed against the values. And if employees haven't lived the values throughout the year, then they lose percentage points from their bonus. So again, it's very much values driven. It's designed to, you know, unite the club and unify the spirit in the club as much as the performance. And it's been very successful for us in the 3 years since we implemented it.
That's brilliant. So that ties in perfectly with what you were saying earlier in terms of every single employee feeling valued and being part of, you know, something bigger, but at the same time being held accountable and ensuring that they do uphold the values. It's not just talked about, it's actually acted on. So that's great. So you also mentioned, just tying into that, how visitors are treated and catered to when they come to the stadium. I remember you saying that you know, people get to drink their local beer and all of that kind of thing, and just to make them feel really welcome. Can you please talk us through this and describe what the outcome has been? I remember, again, you said about you know, there being less graffiti and things like that, so that would be great to delve into.
Yeah, I think there's two elements to this. First of all, it's how we treat our own fans. And one of our values is making it special. So when people turn up to a football match, they obviously expect to see a game, and they expect maybe to meet up with friends and family and enjoy some drinks and food and whatever. But we try and make it a little bit more special than that. So we tend to pick out special occasions, Mother's Day, Father's Day, special birthday, special anniversaries, if we know about it, or our database tells us from our fans, information they provide, that we have a special occasion in the stadium. We do try and make things special for the fan on that day. And it can be, for example, a child's first ever game at the stadium. So they might have a little surprise or a little present waiting for them on their seat when they arrive to commemorate that occasion. For visiting fans, again, it tends to be football's way that visiting fans are made to feel unwelcome. Our policy is a little bit different. We want the visiting fans to feel welcome. We do import their local beer from whichever part of the country they're from. If there's a special food type that they enjoy, we will prepare that. We sell their merchandise. We show their goals on our screens inside the concourse area where the away fans would gather. And again, we try and make them feel as comfortable in the environment as possible. We might light the concourses in their colours if they're different to ours. And what we find is that our staff are treated with more respect, the visiting fans spend more money, that we have less damage to our stadium, everyone goes away, win, lose or draw, having had a great day. And again, in terms of our overall values, treating people well, exceeding expectations, aiming high and making it special, we apply that very much to our visiting supporters that come to the Amex as well. And again, we think this is better for our business, better for our employees. And we think it goes towards making for a better game. This is something we've now been doing for 8 years. It's proved to be very successful. We've got one of the best financial performances of any club in the Premier League in terms of the money spent by visiting fans and also by the least money spent in terms of repairing our stadium should those fans cause any damage. And we're very pleased to say at the Amex they don't. And that's been another massive benefit of the way we treat people and the way we live through our values.
That's brilliant. And just following on from that, your talk also put an emphasis on equality, including being in a unique geographical position for inclusion and diversity. Please, can you elaborate on this point?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the whole club is very committed to equality, inclusion and diversity. We live in a very diverse city on the south coast of England. You know, we have a very large gay population. We have a very varied and different group of people that support our club. We want everyone to come and feel equally welcome and to feel as if they can access the club regardless of whether they have a disability or regardless of whether they have any kind of so-called difference to what people would consider to be a normal person or a typical person. You know, we see people as individuals, and our equality and inclusion and diversity policies reflect that, not just in terms of the people that come to the stadium to support the team and visit the club, but also in terms of our workforce as well. And these policies are really important to us, and we feel in a city as diverse as Brighton, we need to reflect our community and we need to reflect our population, and we do that as best we can.
I think that's great, and especially, you know, increasingly over recent years, I think it would be lovely to see, well, moving forward, sorry, I think it would be lovely to see more and more clubs taking this as seriously as you guys do, because it's so important nowadays. Please, can you also talk us through the ways in which the club maintains a positive relationship with the local public and how this also improves customer engagement? I remember you saying that you use lots of local supplies and things like that. It would be great to talk more about that too.
Yeah, we're very committed to the local economy, and you know, we're a major employer on the south coast. So, you know, we already employ nearly 1,000 people around each of our match days. We try and engage as many local firms as we can for supplies to the stadium, whether that's food or drink or local workforces in terms of maintaining the stadium, any additional building work we do, anything really where we can engage with local employers such as ourselves, we feel that's important. I think we also have made a very big commitment over the years to the community through Albert in the Community, which is our club's charity. We engage with over 50,000 members of the local community each year in different programs to improve their health and well-being, to educate them, to support schools programs, and again, increase the number of people participating in football, whether they are able-bodied or disabled. And this is, again, a very big part of the way we build the club's brand and reputation. And we feel that's important. It's an important area for us to invest in. And we feel that it has a great way of paying back, because we tend to get an increased level of loyalty from our supporters, many of whom have family members or friends who have engaged in our programs in the community. And we feel that, you know, the work that we do with local employers and local suppliers just helps to boost the local economy, which helps keep people in jobs, which in turn means they can afford to come to football matches. So, you know, there is a little bit of method to madness here. You know, this isn't totally altruistic. There is a business reason for us wanting to run the football club in this way. But we feel it's important. And, you know, the football club can set an example to the community. We've got a high profile, which helps us to promote what we do very easily. And we like talking about it, because we feel that it's a good way of setting examples that others might follow.
Absolutely. That sounds excellent. Well, brilliant. Thank you so much. Those are all my questions. So thank you for joining us today, Paul. It's been great to speak with you and hear more about this. I hope everyone listening has enjoyed this discussion as well. Thank you for tuning in.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.